non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of scoffers, nor sits in the seat or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. Coming at you guys, gospel heard around the world from Phoenix, Arizona. Very excited about today's episode. I want to give you a heads up before we even begin today. This show we are going to have today is going to be a tough one to listen to. We talk about an important incident that just happened yesterday to a believer, someone that's connected to us, we know, and very, very important that we all stand behind this brother, that we lift him up, share this episode. But I just do have to warn you that we are going to talk about some graphic things on today's show. This is not a show, I can tell you, just to mute your radio program just for a moment. I just want to tell you that this is not a show that you can listen to with your children in the room, period. And so you've been forewarned.
That depends how homeschooled the kids are.
That's true. That's true. Some of the stuff, maybe stuff your kids have heard, if they're in public school.
Or if they're homeschooled well.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's right. So I just want to give you forewarning, humbly just suggest to you that this is not something that you should listen to with children. We are going to review a sort of a biography of a man who was involved in a homosexual lifestyle. We're going to read his descriptions. We're going to talk about, of course, some current event stuff, but you've been warned, so please take that seriously. Okay, so we are back in the studio today with Luke the Bear.
What up?
Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And King Ginger.
Hello.
So it's been a busy last couple of weeks, lots of stuff going on. I want to point you guys all to ApologiaStudios.com on YouTube and on Facebook. We've dropped some very, very important content. Encourage you guys to go check it out. Please be in prayer for us. Please, please be in prayer for us. We have been running into some difficulties in posting things on both YouTube and Facebook. And by difficulties, I mean suppression of our content, blocking of our content in terms of our ability to get it in front of people. I just tried to post two videos this week related to the issue of abortion, and Facebook blocked our ability to share those videos with more people. They blocked it under the claim that it was political content and we are not authorized to speak on political content.
Have you done that approval process yet?
So here's the thing. So I messaged Facebook through the appeals process and all I've gotten back from them are pre-made form letters that that demonstrate they are not even reading what I'm saying to them. I am telling them that this amounts to a clear case of religious discrimination. These are deeply held religious beliefs. We cannot practice our religion in the way that we're called to if they block us. So it amounts to religious discrimination. It's the issue of abortion. They're calling it political. So Marcus, I tried to go through the process of the appeals process and getting yourself to where you can speak on political things. There's a three-step process. I can't get past the first step. I've tried a number of times. I keep trying to get them to send the initial code to my phone, and I've tried that at least 20 times. to get them to send that code to my phone. And every time I put my number in and push send, it won't send it. Wow. I've messaged Facebook. I told them their system's broken. And every time I message them, I get a pre-made letter back. Nobody's reading it. So here's the thing. We're moving into fresh new times, some good, some victories, and some bad. And the bad is a lot of these secular-owned platforms are now in control of the conversation and narrative. They are blocking the ability of people to speak. So please be in prayer for us. God's doing big things, but we're also now having to face walls being placed up by the platforms that we're using. So
what you're saying is Facebook's gone to kingdom, and they said that abortion is political and not theological.
Very interesting take. I see where you're going, I like it.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
We would all agree that they have the right to do this because they're a private organization. However, they're doing the exact same thing as the cake baker who won't bake a cake for a gay couple.
Oh, consistency.
The exact same thing.
Yeah. Consistency.
That they're preaching against, they're doing, in response to suppress what we're trying to say.
Well, at least the cake baker was forthcoming and said, I can't bake your cake because of this. But Facebook's like, well, we've determined you don't have the right to speak on political things. They should just say, we don't like what you're saying.
We don't like your speech.
Exactly. Right.
No, and the truth is, we believe in God's standards here for private property. Yes, you can do what you want with what belongs to you. However, it doesn't mean that people need to support you when you do.
Yeah.
So you can be stupid. You can act in asinine ways, and it doesn't mean that we need to support you. So this is a big, encouragement here. Can some Christian create an amazing platform out there, please, soon? Can somebody please make something that we can all use?
And don't call it Facebook.
And please don't call it Facebook, and please don't call it Godwire and all that stuff. Please don't call it GodTube. Let's make an amazing platform for everybody that's truly free.
I don't want to see any doves in the logo either.
Yeah. Please, just make something awesome. Just make it awesome. So with all the bad things, let's have some fun here real fast, guys. So John Crist, funny Christian comedian, did a really entertaining video on 17 ways that Christians can say no, and I thought it was genius.
Okay, ways to say no. There are a bunch of them. No thanks. I'm good. I'll pass. One of my personal favorites, for sure, though. I don't know if you knew this or not, but when you got saved, you got eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and access to a whole long list of ways to say no that'll make you sound like way more spiritual of a person than you actually are. I don't think it's God's will. It's just not his timing. I'm feeling led in a different direction. Let me talk to my pastor about that. It's a closed door. I'm waiting on the Lord right now. I just don't feel peace about it right now. God has a different assignment for me. I just didn't feel prompted. I just don't feel like that's something that Jesus would do. But I just feel like I'm not in that season anymore. Can you help me move this weekend? But normally I would, but I just feel like God is just telling me to rest right now. I just got a sense that it didn't line up. Right now I'm in a season of new wineskins. What does that even mean? I just feel like right now I'm in a season of creating margin, and I just don't have the bandwidth. Are you even speaking English right now? I was just asking if you wanted to get a pizza. Prompting. How many times have I told you about the prompting? I'm not feeling the prompting. I don't know. I'm just not really feeling the Spirit's leading on this one. You know what? I'm not sure. Let me lay out a fleece on that one. Okay, I don't think anyone says that. And of course, everybody's all-time favorite, let me pray about it. All I'm saying is, when it comes to Christian ways of saying no, just say no.
There you go. That's all that's very, awesome. Very true. Very it good. Is, yeah. That's a good description of the Christian life. Whoa. Sorry about that, guys.
Did you see the one he did on what to pray for the meal?
Yes.
Oh,
hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. So
funny. I was going to play that one. We'll play that maybe next time.
So funny.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Help us, man. Tell us, get us into the show today. What is going on?
So Russell Berger, who's the chief knowledge officer at CrossFit, or was the chief knowledge officer at CrossFit, posted on Facebook, on Twitter. He posted on Twitter the following. As someone who personally believes celebrating pride is a sin, I'd like to personally encourage CrossFit Infiltrate for standing by their convictions and refusing to host an indie pride workout. The intolerance of the LGBTQ ideology toward any alternative views is mind-blowing. So he said that on June 6th, and the homosexual community went nuts. They went insane. And the result was that he was fired from CrossFit. And BuzzFeed wrote an article about it. And a lot of people have written articles about it. And he's no longer working there anymore. And the CEO,
Now, why don't you go ahead now, guys. And just a heads up, I told you that this show today is going to be graphic in some instances. So hopefully you've already gotten yourself in a safe place where the children aren't around. We're not going to bleep this stuff because we do not want to help them. And we don't want to clean up how they behave and what they say. So go ahead, Marcus.
Let me find it real quick.
Okay.
So it says, the statements made today by Russell Berger do not reflect the views of CrossFit Inc. The company said for this reason, his employment with CrossFit has been terminated. And he said, I was looking for the, I can't find it
how
right
very,
at the
how very tolerant of them. So Russell right. says the intolerance is mind blowing. And then he gets fired. What, the same day it comes out? Or is it the day after?
Yeah, so here's what the CEO of CrossFit said.
Okay.
He said, I am crazy proud of the gay community at CrossFit. Russell Berger needs to take a big dose of shut the fuck up and hide out for a while. It's sad. We do so much good work with such pure hearts. To have some zealot in his off time do something this stupid, we're all upset. The whole company is upset. This changes the standing with us. What's that look like? I don't know. It's so unfortunate.
Mm.
And so they fired him.
There you go. The intolerance of the gay community is mind-blowing, and their response was...
Intolerance.
Complete intolerance. Yes.
Right.
So this was a BuzzFeed article, you said?
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
That's big time, y'all, for BuzzFeed to be writing on this. Yeah, that's a big, big deal.
I think he's in a pretty big position. He was in a big, big position at CrossFit. So
what was he called? Knowledge?
Their knowledge officers. He was essentially their national spokesperson.
Oh, wow.
So...
Man, they turned on him quickly.
Yeah.
Marcus, help me out. Was it the day after or the same day?
Wow.
Well, that was done. That was June 6th. So essentially, yeah, same day.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, so. Brief. Okay.
Speaking of intolerant.
But luckily, he's in the Reform Pub.
Yeah.
And so he's going to come on and talk about this with us.
We're going to have him on today's show, guys. We're just getting set up for that now.
I was going to say, speaking of intolerance and no neutrality, I'm on YouTube right now, and they have a little hashtag proud to create rainbow logo up in the left corner. So
interesting. Yeah. And, from what I understand, the White House, Luke, you're saying the White House refuses right now to celebrate Pride Month,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. From what I saw. Yeah.
Interesting.
So YouTube, they must really like the Noahic Covenant.
They must.
They're proud of Noah for creating the Ark. Maybe.
That's right. That's what that means. That rainbow though. Hashtag. Maybe. Hey, so Russell is going to be on with us today, and while we get set up for that, I just wanted to actually read through something that I think relates very, very much to the subject that we're going to discuss today. This was shared by a friend of mine, Joseph Randall Spurgeon, and this is a very, very powerful, article written by a man, Joseph Sciambra. I think it's how you pronounce it, sciambra.com. So put that together. You can go look at it. The article is called Surviving Gay Barely. And this is, I want to warn you, this thing is potent and very, very graphic. And so, like I said, I want to make sure that you guys do have your kids out of the room. This is not something you should listen to with children for sure, but it is something that all of us as adults, as believers that are trying to engage this culture that we now find ourselves in, it's important that we know these things. It's important that we're conversant in these things, that we can talk through them, that we understand this lifestyle, we understand the consequences of this lifestyle. And why? Well, it just matches perfectly with what we're doing today. We're talking to Russell. He is standing up for righteousness, for truth, in a culture that loves death. Those who hate me love death. And what's the loving thing? Is the loving thing to celebrate pride? Is the loving thing to celebrate a lifestyle that destroys your body? Is it a loving thing that promotes a lifestyle that destroys human beings and their relationship with God and to one another? What's the loving thing? Should we love people to death? And that is to say, just celebrate what they're doing. Just because love is love, and we just pretend like there aren't any consequences. I don't believe so. I think the loving thing to do is to confront evil where you find it, The loving thing to do is when you find someone running off a cliff, you run stop and you yell stop to them.
Right.
So this is it. Surviving Gabe Barely, Joseph's story. In 1989, I walked into the world famous Castro District of San Francisco as a disaffected young man of almost 19 years of age. I had grown up bullied and lonely, and I was looking to finally belong. Almost since I was a child nearing adolescence, the other boys at school instinctively rejected me. While they made the decisive testosterone-fueled jump to more masculine pursuits, such as aggressive schoolyard play and sports, I was timid and unsure. While their voices deepened and sounded increasingly confident, mine remained high-pitched but strangely muted. While they were taller, grew taller, and filled out, I just became thinner and ganglier. The pre-macho boys were typically the best at playing kickball and inevitably turned out to be recess and PE team captains. Focusing on embarrassing apparent lack of skill, they were always quick to ridicule and loudly point out my utter worthlessness. No one ever wanted me on their team. After even the smaller girls got picked, I was always a default last man standing. So he tells that story about growing up. He says, when I arrived in San Francisco, I was still tall, thin, and uncoordinated, but I quickly discovered that men wanted to be with me. Here, a boyish stick frame was a distinct advantage. That first night, as I crept into my first gay bar, I was the same insecure and desperately shy kid. I didn't know what to do. My only experience with the world of male-on-male sexuality was through watching gay porn. And in those images, I was fascinated. It was a fundamental order and a ritual to everything portrayed, old with young, big over small, the experienced and the naive, the mature and supremely masculine, always ushered into manhood, the fresh-faced and less physically impressive youthful rookies. From porn, I sort of knew what to expect. I'd seen such an ominous, similarly titled film like Daddy, It Hurts, Stop, It Hurts, and It's Gonna Hurt. I imagined my transition to masculinity as an initiation rite. And at the near height of the AIDS crisis, like male youths in tribal cultures who had to endure some sort of physical torment or trial in order to join the community of men, I was willing to suffer anything in the process, even die. With my back to the crowded dance floor, I joined a scattered line of men at the bar. The boy no one wanted on his team became the near favorite. Here, proficiency wasn't a necessity, only budding vigor, stamina, and unquestioning willingness. Unlike during our lost childhood, there were men willing to coach and guide us. I looked to my left and to my right and met the cold, hard stares of a few intense-looking guys. Some gave off a knowing half-smile. I glanced down at my drink. When I looked up, they were still watching. A man in a tight, thin t-shirt that showed off his pecs like Adam West suddenly asked me to dance. I was first the chosen. On the dance floor, he moved close and put his mouth to my ear. Over the loud music, I could slightly make out muffled questions. In the process, the one-day growth of his hair on his chin brushed against my newly shaved face. In that accidental moment, I thrilled in the intimacy. Now, he goes on to describe that gay bar lifestyle, all that went with that. And he then goes on to talk about the 2015 HIV surveillance report from the CDC. 88.3% of HIV negative men practiced anal sex in the last 12 months. The numbers were only slightly higher for HIV positive men. Another study found that 71.8% of MSM had anal sex and 28.2% reported oral sex at last encounter. Most significantly, over one half, 52% of MSM aged 18 to 24 reported a recent male anal sex partner who was greater than 5 years older. By contrast, only 7.9% of heterosexual men and 10% of heterosexual women in this age group reported a recent partner who was greater than 5 years older. It says, as he goes on down here, he says about not actually engaging in the anal sex lifestyle as of yet. He says the only fear could not squelch this persistent nagging feeling that something remained invariably incomplete within me. I thought about it, and then one day I calmly walked to the local drugstore near the gay mecca of the Castro. It was well stocked with various over-the-counter laxatives and fleet enemas. For the next hours, I ate very little and washed down a few X-lax with plentiful amounts of water. The following morning, I had second thoughts when I took the enema out of the box. With its long, pre-lubricated syringe, it looked like a quasi torture device. For a few moments, I leaned against the bathroom sink with every muscle in my body clenched until I couldn't stand it anymore. Looking back, it was like a ritual cleansing before a ceremony in some pagan temple. I was probing my body to initiate rebirth, except no matter how much I pumped myself full with water and salt, I became like the Dead Sea at Sodom. I floated for a while, but there was nothing to sustain me. It existed for its own sake. I was horribly sore the rest of the day. As for the sex, unlike porn, it didn't take between 20 and 30 minutes. It was far quicker. And despite the mythology of the power bottom, this initiation required endurance and pain, but also submission. The sensation of purposefully trying to relax the sphincter muscles, since the proper function relayed on a constant autonomic tension, was incredibly strange. I couldn't do it. In the midst of an attempt, my lover shoved a popper bottle under my nose. I took a hesitant whiff, and my heart began to thump out of my chest. The level of intimacy was intense or coldly distant, depending on position and eye contact. I buried my face in a blanket and then dared to look into the face of the man on top of me. There was nothing reciprocal here. Fundamentally, it was a character of the marital act. But I wasn't a woman. And I didn't have a vagina. Nothing about me could accommodate a penis. There was no natural lubrication, and it hurt until I couldn't feel anything. At times, the experience was stinging and fecal. In our wish to find a route into manhood, we became entrapped in a cruel return to the infantine and to the diaper. Almost 2 decades after stopping such behavior, the most vicious joke has been on me. As today, I'm sometimes forced into adult protective undergarments. The boy who wanted to be a man is stuck being a baby. Wow. Powerful. It goes on. It goes on, and it is graphic, and it is horrible, and it's heartbreaking to hear the story of a man who went this direction. And so with that in mind, the word of God at our feet, knowing what homosexuality is, knowing the consequences of such a lifestyle, knowing all of what the God says about the salvation that we need in Christ out of this, we need to layer that on top of the actual personal experiences of those who've lived this lifestyle and are now suffering as a result of it. What does love do? Does love embrace comfort by not speaking into this culture of death? Or does love actually do the courageous thing, the supremely loving thing, and that's stand up and speak and love somebody enough to point them to God, to His Word, to Christ? We'll be right back, guys. Important show today. Thank you guys for listening. Please like and share the episode, and go to ApologiaStudios.com. Sign up for All Access, guys. Partner with us. The ministry is having a greater impact now than ever before. That's the truth. And it's only because of you. It is only because of you who partner with us with All Access. So please sign up for All Access, guys. Partner with us as we herald the gospel around the world and provide a defense of the biblical gospel. Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl, King Ginger, and me the Ninja. Be right back.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the Lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. Dave Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house. Not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on the lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save your face.
You don't know the half of the
abuse. Welcome back, guys. All right, get us at ApologiaStudios.com, everybody. Again, check out the last content dropped on Apologia Studios on YouTube and Facebook. Please continue to pray for us as we work through the difficulties we're having now with the very tolerant society that we live in, being blocked on the platforms that we are right now. So we're working through those things. Just be in prayer for us. Hopefully we can just overcome it and just move forward and not have to look back. So we just finished the last segment talking about the importance in terms of effectively loving another person, the importance of actually speaking the truth to them in love. Now, this is really, really important. I think what people are concerned with in terms of, they wouldn't say, well, I'm in love with comfort. I truly love people and I want to affect people with the gospel and see them turn to Christ and have their lives changed. I think people might often think, well, I've seen this done so poorly in the past. I mean, you can think about organizations like Faithful Word Baptist Church. You look at guys like Steven Anderson, who is just awful in terms of his vitriol and his hatred and rude demeanor and spirit towards people. When he confronts issues of sin, God clearly calls sin. But you see that kind of behavior, and you see the Westboro Baptist Church types that are just awful, shameful, denigrating the gospel types. And so some people might be saying, well, maybe there's got to be a different road to take here. But my fear is that we end up oftentimes trying to avoid the rude and disconnected and disrespectful behavior. And in doing that, we end up just saying nothing, not standing up for righteousness, not standing up for truth. And because we know, I think in the end, that inevitably there will be consequences if we do. There's going to be consequences for my reputation. There'll be consequences in my family. There could even be dramatic consequences in my job. And that means financially, I could take a major hit if I stand up for truth and righteousness in the culture that we live in today. But I just want to say, if we look at the book of Acts and you see the methodology of the apostles, they were also living in a pagan culture. They were also living in a culture that was hostile to the biblical worldview and to the gospel, and they spoke the truth. And you know, if we always look back to that era and we say, man, they're having such an impact on the world. You see just people coming to Christ by the thousands. You're seeing the whole world turn upside down by the church. And man, the world's turning us upside down today. What's the difference? I want to say, well, it comes down to public proclamation of the truth and in a way that honors Christ. But of course, we can't neglect the truth in 1 Peter 3:15, which says, of course, always being ready to give an apologia, a reason defense for the hope that's within you, yet do it with gentleness and with reverence. We need the gentleness and the reverence part. So with that, Marcus, can you, I'll toss this in your lap right now, can you introduce our guest for us?
Yes, we have the former Chief Knowledge Officer for CrossFit, Russell Berger.
All right, Russell, welcome to Apologia Radio. Thank you for being on today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. It's our pleasure. And again, thank you for taking the time with us. So, Russell, I saw your post in the Reform Pub, and Marcus and I immediately responded, wanted to see if we can get you on. I know that this is just the day after, so I do want to be cautious in terms of how we talk about this and where we go with this. So let me just go ahead and give you the floor for a minute. Can you just describe for everybody what happened from your perspective and sort of what were your intentions and motivations?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So one of our affiliate gyms, the way CrossFit as a company is organized and structured is that we license our brand name to independently owned and operated affiliates. And one of these affiliate gyms I saw in a news article yesterday morning had declined to host and canceled an LGBTQ workout, a kind of specific special event to celebrate pride, LGBTQ pride in Indianapolis. As a result, some of the coaches who disagreed with the owner's convictions quit. Some of the clients quit. All of which I think, you know, as a supporter of free market economics, all of that is totally fine. I had no qualms with that.
Very good.
What I saw happen after that and what kind of unfolded, though, was an incredible outpouring of what I guess you could really only describe as like a Twitter mob. People who are activists who use the power of social pressure to assassinate character and to destroy a business's public reputation kind of came out of the woodwork and destroyed this business's public reputation and shut down their, you know, Facebook and Twitter feeds. They had to pull them because there's just so much vitriolic stuff going on there. And eventually they closed their doors from all of the negative attention. Yeah. And, you know, I want to be careful because this, I think this is ultimately sort of a freedom of expression issue, but I don't mean that in the sense that, you know, obviously no one is breaking any laws here or advocating for, you know, the state to come in and control someone's speech. This is a, I think, an existential threat to freedom of expression in a cultural sense, that right. This gym owner said something from his heart, from his convictions, that was essentially blasphemy to the secular world. And they wouldn't let it go unpunished. And I saw this and I felt a great deal of empathy for this gym owner. And I felt frustrated and I felt concerned for how he probably felt as, you know, someone who's at the, who is experiencing the brunt of this, this anger. And so I commented and supported him. And in doing so, I basically opened myself up to the same kind of attack. And in encouraging him, I expressed my, you know, historic Christian Orthodox views that pride is a sin. And, you know, I think my comments were imprudent, and I think that it was unwise for me to use the platform that I have and largely used to act as a spokesperson for CrossFit Inc. to express those personal views. And I put my company in a position that I wish I hadn't. You know, I put them in a position where they felt they had to weigh in on something that they otherwise wouldn't have. And I regret that because I think it distracts them from their mission and takes away time and energy and resources from making people fitter and healthier, which is what they should be doing. So, I regret that. And at the same time, you know, I think it's a really sobering and disheartening example of where we are as a culture that simply by expressing those views, which again have been pretty standard views of the historic Christian faith for thousands of years, that view is no longer tolerated. And, you know, it's a view that's so divisive and so intolerable, but that it's the kind of thing that you can't say and expect to keep your job.
Yeah.
And so I don't blame the company. You know, I respect their decision and I realize they had to do something. But at the same time, I'm deeply saddened by what's going on in our culture that this is where we are.
Thank you, Russell. You mentioned a couple things that I think need to be highlighted. You first talked about the fact that you didn't say anything that is in opposition to standard Christian orthodoxy for thousands of years or Jewish orthodoxy. We're talking about the biblical worldview that has been with us for a very, very long time, and it's cross cultures and it's in different nations. And so you are not stating something that is out of the ordinary or the norm for standard Christian ethical appeal.
Right.
But you mentioned the words heresy and blasphemy, and I think that that nails it, Russell. I think you're exactly right, brother. This particular position that Christians have in terms of the human family, male and female relationships, sexuality, that Christian ethical standard is now in the modern heresy and blasphemy. And that's essentially what you're guilty of right now. You're guilty of blasphemy. And that is, I think, why you're being punished. And I'm very, very sad to see that you're in this position. But I do think it's interesting here, and you don't need to make any comments here, Russell. This is just my own personal comment. I do think it's interesting that the comment you made in terms of what was going on, you talked about intolerance and you talk about it being mind boggling or mind blowing, the level of intolerance. And then it was the same day you become the victim of that intolerance. And again, that's my perspective. Right. And I think it's important.
Yeah. I think there's a very deep irony to that.
Right.
You know, again, you know, this wasn't even something anyone asked my opinion on. So it was, you know, I regret making this the hill to die on, because if I had a choice, this wouldn't be the hill that I chose to die on. At the same time, I think it is really a really powerful and important lesson that all Christians should be aware of, which is that this is a very common and very effective strategy that's being employed by, you know, a certain segment of the LGBTQT community in terms of basically silencing any view that disagrees with their beliefs. And you just need to be aware of that and be prepared for that should you make the decision to weigh in on a subject like I did. You know, you have to understand that the pressure will be applied to you, but it will also be applied to your employer. It will also be applied to your family members. It'll be implied anywhere where those who are outraged by what you said think they can harm you. And that's just the reality of the situation, unfortunately.
Well, I do want to encourage you and pass it off to the team here. I do want to encourage you that you are, in this instance, brother, suffering for righteousness. I know it's come with great consequence to you here. And I know that you're right in the midst of it, and I know you're trusting in the Lord, but I just want to be an encouragement to you as a brother. I'm grateful that you were courageous enough to stand for righteousness in a culture that is so opposed to God, to his word, to the biblical worldview. And so I am grateful that you took that step of courage, and I believe with all my heart that this is going to work together for your good and for the glory of God. I know that to be the case, because what God promises to be the case, he's sovereign.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I would just add, you know, I don't want this story to be about me. I would really like this story to be an opportunity to share the gospel with the world. Mm. And a really quick update, about 30 minutes ago, the Washington Post published a story where they got a statement from me. They interviewed me. And subsequently, they published a proclamation of the gospel, whether they intended to or not. And so I would just like to continue to, you know, hopefully see this directed back towards what my tweets and my comments were fundamentally about. You know, and there's a lot of misrepresentation there because I did not tweet with the intent of defending an entire Christian worldview. I just took a simple stance on one subject. So the misrepresentation is that makes me a homophobic bigot who hates gay people and doesn't want them involved in the CrossFit world. And that's so far from the truth. You know, I love the people in the LGBTQ community, and I want them to know Christ. Mm. And that means being honest about the fact that we are all sinners and we need to not revel in our sin, but turn from it and trust in him.
Yeah. And you, and I just want to highlight this in case anybody closely connected to this gets to hear what you're saying here. Let's make sure we put this on record, Russell. I think it's very, very important that we do so. You would speak this way in terms of an ethical appeal or a swift word or condemnation to a particular lifestyle. You would speak the same way in terms of heterosexual sin.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was adultery, yes. If it was any type of heterosexual sin, you would have the same strong stance against it. You're not essentially picking on a particular segment. You're saying that there's an absolute standard that you hold to that's, of course, orthodox and historic, and you would apply that across the board. You'd apply it to yourself.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point, Jeff, because so often we hear as Christians the complaint that, well, you guys just cherry pick and focus on homosexuality or gender ideology, and you're not acknowledging the sins of adultery or pornography use or anything of that nature. And that's simply not true. I think the really distinct difference here is that there's not months and weeks and events dedicated to adultery
and pornography.
And to pornography.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not being sort of presented as something that we have to accept as a normative feature of culture.
That's right.
So there is an important distinction to be made there. But you're absolutely right. I say that pride is a sin, fully aware that I am guilty of the sin of pride probably multiple times a day.
Mm.
The key is that I don't celebrate it, and I trust completely on Christ to deliver me from that sin and forgive it. And that's really impossible when you don't recognize the thing that you need to be forgiven of as a sin to begin with.
Yeah, and let's point that out. There would never be, I think, an appropriate use of the term pride or the concept of pride for Christians in terms of designating a month called pride. Even if we had a month, watch this. This is important. even if the government said, let's have a month called Pride over heterosexual marriage, I would say that's a little weird to be proud of. Everything we have is the grace of God. Nothing we have is our own. Everything's a gift from His hand. So what are you proud of?
Marriage is a gift of God.
Yeah,
that's,
and
absolutely.
Of course, we would always say, of course, pride comes before the fall. So the point is that we're opposed to the concept itself and the concept attached to anything that God defines as sin, and that would include heterosexual sin, adultery, sexual morality. Any of those things would be included there. So your position here, it needs to be highlighted, and I hope I can do it for you here, isn't picking on a particular segment saying it's just that's really icky. You're making a statement as a Christian, consistent with the biblical worldview, the historic Orthodox biblical worldview, and that needs to be highlighted and understood. All right, guys, go ahead.
Just curious, what's next for you now? I know you're trying to kind of wade through that that right now, but what can we be praying for? Yeah. What can we encourage you with? Stuff like that.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. Man, what's next? Well, I went to the pool earlier today. Got a lot of free time to think about this. You know, I don't know. I would appreciate prayers for my family, just for the stress that this is for them. You know, I've been already, the amount of support that I've received privately, not publicly, but through private messages from other Christians, other gym owners, other coworkers, and literally people around the world who are just saying, hey, I support you, and can I do anything from you, has included job offers, has included help for, you know, healthcare expenses, whatever.
Praise God.
You know, and to be really fair, like my company, even in having to terminate me, is doing a good job of trying to take care of my family. They're being really, I think, charitable in that. And so I want to recognize that and give them credit for that and be grateful for that. So I would just pray that, ask for prayer for stress for my family. And as we transition and kind of figure out what I'm going to be doing with my life now, you know, I'm a non-staff pastor of a church and have long considered going into ministry full time. So that's a possibility. And your prayers are appreciated.
Well, you got it, Brother Joy. Yeah, any words?
I was just going to ask sort of the same thing you were saying, like if someone from the opposing side was listening to this right now, a lot of your comment was on the intolerance of alternate views. So I guess just what is the importance of speaking truth and offering an alternate view? What do you think about that? Like, obviously that was really the theme of what you were saying. And we've seen some pretty observable evidence that that's the state that we live in.
Yeah.
But what would you say to someone who thinks that they're allowed to be intolerant because you're breaking the cardinal sin of, big air quotes here, hating gay people?
Yeah. Well, I mean, whenever we use words like intolerance and discrimination and talk about how beliefs have consequences, you can't understand really what any of that means unless you hold it up against a moral framework and a moral standard that draws lines as to where those things should and shouldn't be. Mm. And, you know, a really good example of this is if you came out in support of the Nazi Party and its extermination of the Jewish people, I think most people would expect that if you did that on a public platform, in, you know, a platform you used with your company as a representative of that company, you're probably going to lose your job. So the question then becomes, where's the line? What is a tolerable position and what is an intolerable position? And fundamentally, and you guys preach and teach this all the time on your show, is that unless that standard is God's moral law, unless that standard is His revealed truth about human moral obligations, then it's completely just a matter of total arbitrary cultural preference.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's going to change as the whims of culture change. And you're going to see people who were once celebrated as moral heroes are suddenly condemned as blasphemers. And it's going to be completely standardless and completely irrational.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Can I share something with you guys?
Yes, please.
So this is a comment, just to give you an idea of some of the comments I'm getting. They're not all coming from Christians. here's one, and I'm not going to share this individual's name for obvious reasons. He writes, "Thank you for posting about CrossFit Infiltrate, which was the gym that was shut down. Mm-hmm. I am a gay affiliate owner who abhors the character and entrepreneurial assassination that has become the norm when an individual or business is merely adhering to their belief system or exercising their constitutional rights. I hope the best for the owner of Infiltrate." I think that's a little example of God's common grace right there, giving this guy some common sense.
Even as
a non-Christian, he can see the absurdity and the unethical nature of this kind of behavior.
Wow. You know, Russell, thank you, man. That's great. I love your descriptions there and how you explain that. And I want to highlight what you pointed out. So it's just piggybacking off of what you said there. I think that what this highlights the most is that there is always going to be an ultimate standard. You can't get away from it. Now, obviously, we're going to have moments where there's warring standards back and forth, but you can't get away from the fact that there's going to be an ultimate standard. There's always going to be a God over the system. Now, we happen to live in a time where if this was different, if you were 200 years ago tweeting like you did, nothing. It would be so uneventful. It would be.
Except
it would
they'd be, all be freaked out by the fact that it was a tweet.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. That's right. Except that. What are we doing tweeting?
Telegram.
Yeah. Exactly. If you shot this across a wire to many, many people, it would be so uneventful. It would just move into this common drivel of the day. It would just be, you know, whatever, meaningless, moot point. But we live in a time where the ultimate standard has moved toward a particular view of pride and human sexuality, and so what you said violates the norm and the ultimate standard of the day that's been heralded and propagated. And because of
the
that,
doctrine.
The doctrine of the day. You're the sexual doctrine of the day. And so because of that, you now are the pariah. Now you are the one that's persecuted because you're going against the ultimate standard and the God of the system. Mm. And so that's why we're where we're at. Nothing you said was unusual historically or biblically. It's because we live in a time where Christian influence is so waned and we've moved so far away from our voice being the standard and our standard being the standard of society that here we are now, a good brother in the Lord who's probably a very hard worker.
That's a really good point. Yeah, that's, you know, I think what you see too in the way that people like myself become the pariah or the tar baby that, you know, is thrown under the bus. The nature of it is so emotive and so vitriolic and so irrational that, you know, I pray that if we allow this to continue the way we do as a society, that this movement will hang itself by its own rope.
Right.
And I think it exposes it as fundamentally, you know, it's exactly like we read in Romans 1, that this is not motivated by an intellectual disagreement. This is a passionate and very fundamental moral rebellion against God, and it leads to futile thinking. And,
that's right.
And you see that anytime you try and engage with this this movement intellectually.
That's right. Mm. Russell Berger, guys. Hey, brother, we hope you on again. We'd love to continue to pray for you and get updates. Thank you so much for taking the time today to be with us on the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Russell Berger, guys. Hey, guys, pray for Russell, and we will try our very best to keep you guys updated and hopefully get them on, maybe even live. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be find great. That out. Be awesome.
Hey, thanks for listening today, guys.
Maybe he could teach us how to work out.
That's right. Some CrossFit.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Some of us don't need help.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I do too. Being a pastor has gotten me more out of shape than I've ever been in my life. All right, guys. So Apologia Radio for today. Thank you so much for listening. Again, only you make this show possible. And thank you to all of our loyal listeners and partners in ministry. You can't imagine what God is doing through this ministry. I'm talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people all around the world being affected by what God is doing here through this ministry on all of our platforms. And it only takes place because of your partnership. So please go to apologiastudios.com, sign up for all access, and thank you guys so very much. Hey, quick word of encouragement with that. Some of you guys saw a couple of weeks ago, Apologia Studios dropped a video with me talking to a man that was leaving Mormonism. Mm. He has officially come to Christ, and guess what, y'all? He wants to get baptized.
What?
That's right. He was at Apologia Church this last Sunday. I cannot thank you guys enough for letting us have this ministry to be able to put content out that leads people to Jesus and then we get to actually touch them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing. Mm. And that story can be multiplied ad infinitum, ad nauseum. It's over and over every single day. Thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for letting us do this ministry and being a part of it with us. So that's Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Joy the girl.
Yeah.
King Ginger.
See ya.
All right, guys. Catch you guys next week. Apologia Radio, ApologiaStudios.com.